In other news this afternoon, a massive manhunt is underway in Ohio as police search for a gunman who killed a pensioner seemingly at random and then broadcast it on Facebook Live. Well, we're going to go live to our reporter in Washington. Our US correspondent Simon Marks joins me now. A very good afternoon to you, Simon. What more can you tell us on this story?
Well, Chris, that manhunt is expanding, and it's expanding in quite a big way. Now moving from Ohio all the way across to the East Coast and to New York State and New York City, where people are being urged to be on the lookout for Steve Stevens, the man believed responsible for the random killing of that pensioner. But also they've expanded the manhunt west as well to states all the way across to the Midwest of the United States. So this now a very major attempt by law enforcement agencies in a large number of states to track this man down. There are reports that his cell phone registered on a network somewhere in Pennsylvania within the last few hours, although the fact that the manhunt has been expanded beyond that state suggests that they think that he is still on the move. There's been some clarification about precisely how video of the killing of this 74-year-old pensioner Robert Goodwin made its way to Facebook. He did not, we now believe, broadcast the killing live. Rather, he videotaped it using his cell phone and then uploaded the video to Facebook. So it's not, it would seem, as we originally understood, that the murder was seen live on Facebook. But nonetheless, the video was certainly posted to that social media platform. Facebook is cooperating with investigators as they try to find Steve Stevens, who also posted another piece of video to Facebook in which he appeared to be having a telephone conversation with a friend of his, claimed that he had simply snapped, and also claimed that he was responsible for as many as 13 murders. Now, the police in Ohio were unable to verify that claim, but they are obviously extremely interested in tracing him. He worked, incidentally, at a behavioral health agency in Ohio, and so it would seem would at least have been aware of perhaps some of the behavioral issues that he himself was facing, but this massive manhunt now expanding.
And we will, of course, keep you up to date on that story as it continues to develop throughout the evening. Let's move to the latest from North Korea, Simon. US Vice President Mike Pence visiting South Korea. What's the latest there?
Yes, I mean, Mike Pence finding himself steps away from North Korea during this visit to South Korea. He visited the demilitarized zone, the DMZ, they call it, that separates North from South Korea. That's something of a ritual for visiting American officials. But this was more than just symbolism, because, of course, Vice President Pence is there just a couple of days after North Korea attempted another missile test, a missile test that failed. There's much discussion here, speculation about why it may have failed. Did U.S. intelligence deposit any computer bugs into North Korea's military computer software and hardware in a bid to try and make sure that the test failed? They've done that in the past. They may have done it this time round as well. Vice President Pence has channeled his inner Donald Trump on this visit to South Korea, echoing the president's threat to go it alone against North Korea if China doesn't do more to put pressure on Pyongyang to derail Kim Jong-un's nuclear aspirations. Now, I think the fact that that missile firing did fail has given Donald Trump a bit of an opportunity not to react reflexively, but to wait and see what China does. But Vice President Pence, speaking in South Korea a few hours ago, said, look, we've already shown the world through the military action that we've taken in Syria and Afghanistan that President Trump will not hesitate to act militarily where he believes there is a need to do so. And he was suggesting that no one in the region, not North Korea, not China, no one watching this scenario play itself out, should imagine that Donald Trump will not take military action if needed. The era of what Vice President Pence referred to as American strategic patience with North Korea is at an end. Although, as ever, policymakers will tell you there is no easy fix, not even a military one, to the problem posed by Kim Jong-un.
And how is this playing out on the networks and in the media and the press, this visit? Was it planned before they knew of this missile crisis, or was it a late addition to his diary?
Yes, we knew he was going to Asia. We did not know he was going to visit the demilitarised zone, although I suppose we probably all should have guessed that he was going to visit the demilitarised zone, because, as I say, there is a certain... I mean, that's a sort of a rite of passage for any prominent US politician visiting the region. But this is part and parcel of the grown-ups within the Trump administration now fanning out around the world to reassure allies. You've got Vice President Pence on his tour of Asia, the National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster is in India today. First top-level contacts between the Indian government and the Trump administration. I can tell you that I was interviewing last week the Singaporean defense minister who was here in Washington, D.C., who told me that General Mattis, the defense secretary, had described himself as the secretary of reassurance. So often is he asked to provide reassurance to the country's foreign partners and allies. And so this is all part and parcel of Donald Trump sending his frontline top-level staff into the field internationally to try and reassure allies. In the case of South Korea, Vice President Pence said the U.S. commitment to South Korea is, as he put it, ironclad. However, they still face questions, of course, about the reflexive actions that Donald Trump has already taken, particularly with that airstrike on Syria. So they may find themselves explaining Donald Trump to the rest of the world for a good long while to come.
Let's talk about something ever so slightly lighter. The 139th Easter egg roll is taking place on the South Lawn at the White House. It's the first time that the Trumps have hosted this event. How is that going?
Well, I hope it's finished now, because there's a light drizzle pouring down onto Washington, D.C.
Melania said it was going to be a beautiful day.
It was beautiful until about 45 minutes ago, when suddenly we got clouds and just a little bit of light rain. But it was beautiful for the start of the Easter egg roll. I'm bound to say, I've been here nearly a quarter of a century. I've managed never to go to the Easter egg roll, but it is a substantial event at the White House. Indeed, the woman who used to organise it for President Obama was saying over the weekend, this is an all-hands-on-deck event. They take it very seriously. They invite children in, not just from Washington, D.C., but from across the country, to put on costumes and roll Easter eggs across the White House lawn. But it almost ran into serious trouble this year, because the Trump team left it so late to order the commemorative Easter eggs. Perhaps they didn't realize it was an all-hands-on-deck event, that the company that makes them was warning if they didn't get the order in rapidly, it would be too late to manufacture the commemorative wooden Easter eggs that the kids all get to go home with. I think they might have quite a few eggs to spare this year, Chris, judging by the pictures that we've seen this morning. There were not that many people that showed up for Donald Trump's first Easter egg roll. So if you fancy a crack at it next year, come to Washington. You might be able to get in.
I read that somewhere on social media, I think 35,000 or so attended last year and 20,000, they think, attended this year. So yeah, I'm sure Trump's going to have something to say about that.
I think 20,000 might be an ambitious estimate. Of course, Donald Trump has never been very good at estimating the size of crowds.
Well, indeed.
Look anything like 20,000 to me this morning.
Thank you very much, Simon Marks, our US correspondent. You can follow him on Twitter at Simon Marks FSN for all the latest from Washington. It's 4:33 right now.